Welcome to the Live Your Life podcast, episode number 32, where I talk about Valentine's Day and healthy love. I really don't say a whole lot about Valentine's Day because how much can you really say about Valentine's Day? But I did do a post on Valentine's Day and I said that I was going to talk about the role versus the relationship. And I was talking about self-love and I talk a lot about healthy love. So stay tuned for an interesting episode, in my opinion. Thank you for your support. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast, and I hope that your day is filled with love because you deserve it. Everything expressed in the Live Your Life podcast is either my opinion or the opinion of my guest, and this is not a replacement for healthcare services. If you find yourself in need of therapy or other healthcare services, please seek out resources for that. I'm Jasmine Savari, and welcome to the Live Your Life podcast. As a coach with a master's degree in psychology, I know that so many of us are missing the authentic experience of truly living our lives. I want to inspire you with conversations that expand your consciousness and empower you to create the best life possible. Let's start living now, because now is all we have. Happy post Valentine's Day, everybody. Yesterday was Valentine's Day. What a day, right? What a glorious, fantastic, love-filled day. Everybody is just dripping with love and affection and happiness. It's funny, like I want to talk about Valentine's Day, but even yesterday when I was posting on social media, I want to be really careful what I say because it's such a heavy topic. How do you even talk about love or relationships or Valentine's Day? Like, who even knows what the heck is going on with anything anyways? What are we supposed to be doing? One thing I know for sure is that relationships can cause a tremendous amount of suffering if we're going into them with expectations and confused intentions. And I think that that is what so many of us do. Now, if you've been listening to my podcast, you know some of my story, which is that I was married for 6 years and I got divorced a couple years ago, and I have very intentionally been single most of the time since then. And I remember when my ex-husband and I were not doing well, I started looking for therapists to help us. We started going to couples counseling. And I remember seeing a couples therapist who their website said that they had been divorced. And I was like, you clearly have no idea what you're talking about. So I'm not coming to see you. But let me be super clear about my experience and what I know. I learned so much about relationships with going through a divorce. And what I know is that that person, me, who was in that relationship, I really couldn't see the truth of what was happening when I was inside of it. And now that I look back, I can see things so much more clearly. And what I can see more than anything is myself and my subconscious beliefs, my fantasies, my expectations, all of the things that were present in that relationship that, you know, like weren't invited. They weren't a part of the vows. Like all my subconscious beliefs will basically be what we're all fighting about. I mean, and this is the truth for all of us. It is the truth for all of us. I mean, who's an expert anyways in anything? But what I can tell you is I have a lot of experience being in the intimacy of relationships. And what I know to be true is that most of us aren't in our relationships. Most of us are in our own dreams and fantasies that were programmed inside of us when we were children. And we bring them into our relationships and we don't realize that that's what we're doing. That is the case for most of us. That's the case for most of us in pretty much like every moment of our lives, is that we're operating from our programming. We don't see what's happening. we see the dream that we're projecting onto the world based on what we believe. And we can know that this is true because we don't agree on everything. Not everybody agrees on everything. That's because we're all operating from our own beliefs. And we didn't all get the same script. We didn't all get the same brain, the same programming. You know, there may be one thing in a partnership that is upsetting to one partner, and it's not upsetting at all to the other partner if it's played the other way around. But it is so hard to see this stuff. And I think that so many of us, if we're having trouble in our relationships, which most of us do, we look for a logical cognitive strategy. We want to find a plan to fix the problem. But I use this framework with a lot of my clients, and the more I understand it, the more I believe it, and I see it everywhere as I start really talking about it. Now, I read about it recently in Course in Miracles, Content versus Form, and in the past, I used to think of it a little differently. But basically, it's like we're taking our programming and it's playing out, and we're looking at the form, the way that it manifests itself in the world. But what we don't see is that manifestation is a product of the framework that we hold, that we believe to be true about ourselves. Now, some of these concepts are so hard to understand. And ultimately, I think it's hard because when we try to understand this stuff, we don't really have a lot of control over it. And when we look at the form, if I can, you know, schedule dinner at the appropriate time, if we can agree on what movie that we're going to watch, if you can, you know, take out the garbage so that I don't feel abandoned and unimportant, then I think it's going to be the right strategy. I think it's going to be the answer to fix the problems. But what a lot of us don't see is that it's not about how it manifests in form. It's not about what we think it's about. In fact, it almost never is about what we think it's about. If you, you know, like the garbage example, right? It's like if you have some sort of disagreement on who takes the garbage out and you go to the bookstore and you buy a book on like how to figure out who's supposed to take the garbage out in your relationship, it's not going to serve you. Because it's not about the garbage and it's not about who's taking the garbage out. It's about who you believe that you are in the relationship. So if my childhood experience is one where, you know, we all have these experiences. This is part of being born in the world. It's not about blaming mom and dad. It could be something as simple as like tripping when I'm in second grade. And that made some sort of programmed belief about myself that plays out today. I just don't realize that it's this 7-year-old inside of me that's actually arguing about taking the garbage out because of an experience I had back then. And I think what makes it really hard is it's really tricky to identify this stuff on our own. But the more that I've done this work, the more that I see with absolute certainty in my experience, my lens, my perspective, that it is the answer. It's never about the form. It's not about what we think it's about. It's about what we think it means about us. So if I knew deep down that everything in my life is in my control, and whether or not the person in my life, my partner, behaves in a way that works for me, it really has nothing to do with my measure of self-worth or how lovable that I am. Of course, if I'm in a relationship with somebody and we have drastically different beliefs about what it means to be in a relationship, that's going to be a problem. But what's going to serve you in a relationship is to understand that most of what happens is a fantasy and a projection that's coming from your subconscious. It's not about what's happening in the relationship. And a lot of us put a lot of weight on this other person. If they could just be right, if they could be good enough, if they could do what I need them to do, then I would be okay. And I've talked about this in the podcast before, and I know that a lot of you know this, but you know, 50% of marriages end in divorce. That's just the truth. It is like hard to be in relationship if we don't understand that nobody's going to be able to do the things, all the things that we want them to do. Of course, there's many reasons why. But to me, the number that even makes it more important to recognize this is the number of second divorces, which is tricky, right? If you've been divorced, well, I don't ever want to get divorced again. It was horrible, and I hope I never have to go through it again. But, you know, it's an option. And when I get married in the future, if I do, maybe it'll be easier for me to get divorced a second time. You know, like maybe, because I've already been there. I know it's an option. Maybe it's just a thing. But also, the grass is not greener. It's not always greener. Sometimes it is. Come on, let's be honest. Sometimes it's greener. But maybe that's if you change and you grow so that you attract something that's healthier, that's a better match for you. But a lot of us think that the answer is outside of us. If I could just change something outside of me, then I'll be happy. You know, like right now I live in a one-bedroom den apartment. My den doesn't have any windows. You know, I could think like, yeah, I would be happier if I had a room with windows. Like that would make me really happy. And then that would happen and maybe it would help a little bit. But ultimately, if I'm not at peace inside of myself, like nothing outside of me is going to make me happy. And there's always going to be something else that I need. The next thing, the nicer car. Gosh, like I want a new car. You guys, I'm car shopping and I got a new car like 2 years ago. And I don't shame myself. This is just how it goes. I don't think there's anything wrong with getting new cars as long as you aren't under the illusion that it's going to be the measure of your like happiness or peace or contentment. It's going to be the answer to make you feel good on the inside, because it might for a little bit, but it's definitely not going to be the answer if you don't feel good inside of yourself. So yesterday I posted on my Instagram a quote about spiritual love versus ego love. And if I love myself, the people in my life will also love me. But I'm not talking about like adoration. I'm talking about this place inside of me where if I'm healthy and I respect myself and I believe that I'm good enough and that nobody else is going to be the answer to my self-worth, I'm not going to invite toxic people into my life. I'm going to invite people into my life who reflect my truth back to me. And if you don't love yourself, you're never going to be in a loving relationship. If you have deep buried contempt for yourself, which a lot of us do, and we just don't recognize it, we live out these beliefs in our lives. So if deep down I hate myself, and I posted about this on social media too, but these are kind of like ego challenging ideas. And what I'm learning is that like I run a business, right? I can't be totally honest about a lot of the things that I want to say because it's super threatening to the ego. And it's the same for me too. It's so interesting. I think a lot now in my life, as I've been doing this deeper work, I look back at my history and I look back at people in my past who were trying to tell me the truth. They were trying to challenge my ego stories and my beliefs, and I absolutely couldn't hear it. But now I totally hear it. I totally see it. And I know that they were speaking the truth to me. I just couldn't. There was something inside of me that was too scared to hear the truth. And I think that's the case for a lot of us. And I think we have to be in a place where we don't feel ashamed by speaking the truth. And the more and more in my life that I'm seeking freedom from, you know, the prison that I made from, we all make our own prisons that we're stuck in. We just don't see it. But the more that I see the prison, the more I'm open to really like challenging what I think is true. And I can tell you, which I've said before in the podcast, the more that I know, the less I know. Like I literally, everything that I think I know is filtering through the framework of my past, which sometimes keeps me stuck. It doesn't allow me to see what could be happening now. And that is the case for all of us. So really, the best thing that you can ever do for yourself is show yourself love. And I think there's a lot of, you know, stories out there about like, it's not okay to love yourself. It's selfish to take care of yourself. You should be taking care of other people. But let me tell you, if you don't love yourself first, you are not going to be able to love anybody else because it has to start with you. You're going to have all sorts of crazy stories playing out, and crazy just because they're not true. Crazy stories playing out in relationship if you're not at peace with yourself. So, as I've shared before, earlier today, even, I'm single and I'm okay with it. I definitely have moments where I wish that I had somebody else to like cook dinner and take the garbage out. Come on, take the garbage out, somebody else. But sometimes we get confused about the role versus the relationship. And this is a concept that I talked about a lot when I was in my divorce group, my divorce recovery group, which I loved so much. I still love it. You know, looking back at the reality of a relationship, especially when it's over, you can see like every time you catch yourself missing something, what is it that you're missing? Or looking forward, for me, I desire to have a relationship. Is it because I want someone to take the garbage out? Is it because I want somebody to cook dinner for me? That is not a relationship. That's a body doing something for me. And if I'm looking for that, and I think that it's only in another person that I'm going to find these things that will make me okay, then I believe that I'm not okay. I believe that something is missing. I mean, it is nice to have someone help you with tasks. I'm not denying that. But what I'm saying is that if I live my life thinking that something is wrong or that something is missing or that I'm weak or that I need help or that I'm incomplete or that something is wrong with me because I don't have those things, what kind of energy am I bringing on like onto a dating app or into the world? I'm bringing an energy of I'm incomplete and I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to help me believe that I'm good enough or whatever. And this is so tricky to think about this. What are you looking for? What are you looking for in a partner? If you have your list of what's important to you, maybe you have a partner. What is your list of what's important to you in that partnership? And I would like challenge you to really notice, is it the relationship with that person? And I'm sure it is in a lot of ways. But I also think in a lot of ways, so many of us are taught to objectify people and see what they can do for us. I can hire somebody to cook dinner for me. I can pay house cleaners to take my garbage out. And that comes from a place of empowerment. Like, I don't want to be responsible for this all the time. But if I'm looking for something just because I think I need help, I'm not going to attract a healthy person. I'm going to attract somebody who reflects back to me, mirrors back to me that I'm missing something or I'm weak or whatever. And that's probably going to play out in some sort of toxic relationship with somebody who may not have a lot of respect for me because it starts with me. I'm going to have respect for myself and know that I can take care of myself. Having another person in my life, great. But if I'm looking from a place of scarcity, it's a setup. It is absolutely a setup. And I even hear myself as I'm talking about this, I could imagine so many arguments or like, well, what about this? What about, I mean, this stuff is super complicated. And I don't have all the answers. I don't. And I'm not you. Like, you have the answers to your life if you're being honest with yourself. But what I really want to encourage you to do is just pay attention. What kind of life are you creating for yourself? And how much power does your partner have in your life? The name of this podcast is the Live Your Life Podcast. Are you fully living your life? Or are you in somebody's shadow? Or do you need somebody to be in your shadow? Like, what sorts of patterns are playing out? You know, I think that we get in relationships and we just think that we, like, these other people are responsible for us or we're responsible for them. But when you have another grown adult in your life, you are both standing on your own two feet and responsible for yourself. And take care of yourself. It is not your partner's job to take care of you emotionally. They're just a person. They're just another person. You've identified them as your partner, but they have the right to their own life as well. And they can be connected to you, but nobody's responsible for taking care of the other person. And I think for me, now that I understand the concept of divorce at a deep level, people can walk away from relationships. And then you're stuck with yourself. And I think a lot of us sacrifice our identity for a relationship. And I'm not saying that you have to get divorced to see this stuff. Absolutely not. But I've seen a lot of women, especially, and men get divorced and they don't know who they are anymore because they lost themselves in the relationship or they didn't know how to take care of themselves on their own. Partnership is healthy. I feel like it's just a really tricky thing to talk about. But I guess the point of this podcast is just really an invitation to not be in the fantasy of what romantic love was sold to us as, especially as children, because I think it's a setup. And I think a lot of us, it just doesn't work for a lot of people. A lot of people, it just doesn't work. Pay attention to what's happening inside of you. Another concept that I really love, also from A Course in Miracles, is this idea of an extension of love or a cry for love. Love is really the answer to everything. We want to be loved. And we walk around looking for other people to make us feel loved. So if you think about it, a lot of the conflicts in relationship, if you could go deep down beneath the surface, the partner is looking to say, do you love me? Do you care about me? Am I important to you? Do you love me? Please tell me that you love me. Please love me. Instead of like, take the garbage out, you jerk. What if what you were really saying is, I feel like you don't love me. I feel like I want to feel loved right now. And if you make the garbage a representation of whether or not you are lovable, that is a setup. So be careful with that one. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. So what if when you are in conflict, you could recognize that you're in pain or your partner is in pain and they're asking to feel loved? And I bet if you even went further, you could ask yourself, like, how old do I feel or how old does my partner feel right now? When you're in a fight, most of the time you are dealing with a reactive child part of your partner. You are not talking to the grown-up adult version of your partner. You're talking to a wounded child. So pay attention. And next time you get super upset, wonder, which, you know, you're highly unlikely going to do this until after the fact, because when we're upset and reactive, we're not in our minds. But if you look back at a time when you were really upset recently, how old did you feel when you were upset? My guess is you didn't feel like the competent adult who's probably listening to this podcast. You were probably 11 in that moment, right? We don't come to these situations based, like reacting based on what's happening in the situation. We react based on who we believe we are, what we believe we are. So what if the next time you got in an argument with your partner or anybody, what if you were just able to recognize that they were feeling like they wanted you to love them? And also, let's just be super clear, nobody else can make you feel lovable. That's a setup. Also, nobody can do enough to make you feel good enough. It is inside of you. It's always inside of you. It's the same as anger. I love the saying, anger is drinking poison, hoping that somebody else will die. When I'm angry at somebody else, they don't feel it. I do. When I love somebody else, they don't feel it. I do. It's inside of us. And so the more that you show love for other people in your life, the more that you're going to be able to feel it. When somebody loves you, they're triggering a feeling that you have inside of you. They're not able to give you that feeling of love. It doesn't come from them. It comes from you. So the more love that you have for yourself, the more that cup is going to be full and you won't be looking for it outside of yourself. But that is not what we're taught. Yes, when we're infants and we're in an attachment relationship, we need a parent to be there and help us understand the world. But I don't think I'm talking any infants right now. When we're grown-ups, that's a setup to expect other people to make us feel safe and worthy and loved in the world. Yes to healthy partnership. Yes to attachment. No to making somebody else responsible for whether or not like you're okay or you're loved or good enough in the world. Most people are in their own beliefs. They can't ever do enough for you because they're wrapped up in themselves. They just can't. So going back to this idea of the role versus the relationship, most of us are projecting what we want or the expectation that we have onto our partner in our lives. I was just reading something from the paperwork from my group. I don't know who wrote it. I did not write this, but it's talking about as if we're casting a role for a movie. Okay, who's going to be the man in my rom-com? What do I have in my mind that he's going to look like? And if I have this idea of who I think that whoever should be, like I could find it for sure. But maybe that's not the most important thing because this isn't a movie. It's our relationships. How do we feel? And how do we feel coming back to how well we're taking care of ourselves? It's such a tricky thing. And I just know that so many of us feel lonely and hurt because we have expectations of other people, and those expectations could never be filled by those other people. The kind of relationship that's going to be healthy is going to be a relationship with two people who are accountable for themselves and understand that they're responsible for taking care of themselves. And that's how you show up in a healthy relationship. If you go into it with a void, it's not going to be a healthy relationship. It might function for sure. We can totally have a super dysfunctional dance and it can be sustainable. But pay attention to how you feel and take care of your feelings. Take care of yourself. So my job is not to bash on Valentine's Day. I mean, don't get me wrong. I could totally eat a bunch of chocolate and have a nice dinner and have some flowers. Like, yes. And Valentine's Day is an important day. If you're in a relationship and it's important for you to honor that sort of thing without the judgment or whatever, there is no harm in doing that. But it's also super important to recognize that most of what we're taught doesn't work. And we have a choice to stop doing it. And most of what we're taught isn't self-love. So love yourself first in a healthy way. Take care of yourself. Eat nourishing food. Get exercise. Like, do the things that make you feel good about yourself and your body. Start there. That's the best place to be. And then I think everything else in form is healthier and it will feel better. So I hope that you had a wonderful Valentine's Day, no matter what you did. And I hope that you feel loved, even if you're not in a relationship. And I hope that you express love to people around you because it makes you feel love and that feels good and it's super authentic. Hey guys, it's Jasmine. Thanks so much for listening to the Live Your Life podcast and don't forget to subscribe. You can find the show notes and information about life coaching at jasminesavari.com. You can also find me on Instagram at jasminesavari. I am a life coach and a licensed mental health counselor, but this podcast is not a replacement for healthcare services. If you are in crisis, please call 911 or the Crisis Clinic at 1-800-273-8255. Take care and don't forget to live your life.